So, you sure you're up for this?
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Just want to be absolutely certain you know what you're getting into.
Oh, come on, Wayne. It's just a party.
Of course.
Of course. Just a party.
Still, there was that guy last year. He went down into Hudson's basement. Didn't know how to French kiss. Got the breathing all wrong. Suffocated. But I'm sure you'll have better luck.
We're talking fucking wrestling, whoa. We're talking fucking wrestling. Know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was...
Know what I'm saying, dog?
It was kind of that Irish band you were doing.
Yeah, you know, that song we love and we play at the bar all the time, no matter what time of the year.
Here we are, recording a wrestling podcast on a good old St. Paddy's Day while everyone else is out reveling, listening to fake Irish songs and... drinking Jameson and Guinness. At least we have some Jameson in our coffee here.
We do. It is St. Patrick's Day. It is Bono's birthday.
Happy birthday to Bono.
Happy birthday, Bono.
I'd just like to say thank you for everything you do to the... Not to the children, for the children.
Yeah.
The Freudian slip there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Just used to the celebrities this day and age, you know? Don't get me started on one of my classic celebrity rants.
Not Bono, though. That's the guy you can sit and watch, too. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. While you were busy fucking little kids, R. Kelly, I was busy trying to end AIDS.
True. I mean, it's not even a joke. That's those guys' lives.
Yeah.
R. Kelly spent his life fucking children. Bono is... And if you, like, were to play a U2 song out in the bars around here, people would be like, oh, come on. Oh, this sucks.
Yeah, fuck.
You play an R. Kelly song, people are like, hell yeah.
You play remix to Ignition.
That shows you where people are right there. That shows you where people's fucking heads at.
Oh, man. I was at a wedding last night.
Oh, man. St. Paddy's Day weekend wedding? That must have... been quite the to-do.
It was the first wedding in the post No More Remix to Ignition at Weddings era.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how long that'll last.
Yeah, I've definitely heard R. Kelly songs being played out in public a lot in the last couple of weeks.
I think you're gonna, at least this year, you're not gonna hear it at weddings so much.
Mm-hmm. It was like that like 6 month period where they stopped playing tracks off Bill Cosby's comedy albums at weddings.
Right.
But then like people, it was too good. They slipped back into it pretty quick.
Damn, it was great. He gave us chocolate cake. People love that at weddings. It's Baby Oil and Blow. We are your hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Matt O. And that's me.
Yeah.
And you.
Got another guy on the other side of the table here though.
He is... Who do you want to be? I think you should be...
Can I be the Edge to your Bono?
Yeah.
Twinkle, twinkle, wow. Twinkle, 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 twinkle. That's the
absolutely
sound my guitar makes. Twinkle,
you are
twinkle,
the Edge
twinkle, twinkle,
to
twinkle,
my Bono.
Twinkle.
You're Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Hopefully, you know, this podcast will be up to standards. We took a week off.
Yeah.
I was in New Orleans. I gave myself alcohol poisoning.
New Orleans, they call it.
Yeah, that's...
The big sleazy.
No one said that. Not even any white people. I didn't even come across any like white people who said that to me. So that was nice. It was a good little trip, but it's been a long time since I've dipped my toe into the world of professional wrestling. I kind of forgot how the whole business works, quite frankly. I'm going to have to get my bearings here again and remember exactly how we do this podcast thing.
Luckily for you, the entire time you were gone, I was fully immersed in the world of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On top
living
of
it.
Well, just all the
just
internet wrestling memes and
oh,
whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
we got to stay on the meme
game. You got to catch me up. Let me know what people are talking about. What's out there now? What's hot? What's good in the streets?
What's good in the hood? Vince McMahon, ECW Vince McMahon.
He's back?
No, but I think that's just what everybody should be talking about all the time.
How long do you give it before somebody starts digging up all that footage and is just like, you have to take your shows off the air? This stuff isn't allowed to exist.
I mean, there's a lot of things that they could be like, hey, you can't have a show anymore.
I mean, back in the late 90s, they had that whole, you know, whoever the real version of Right to Censor was, it was like, this needs to go off the air, but nobody cared because it was the 90s and, like, things were cool.
Yeah.
Things aren't cool anymore.
No.
The next time one of those groups pops up and are just like, look at all these things that have been on this show.
Right.
It's going to be like, oh, yeah, you can't be on TV anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're canceling you.
All y'all millennials, you're soft, man.
That's true. Everybody knows that.
Everybody's heard about everything these days. When we were kids, parents were like, ooh, I don't think you should just be listening to any kind of music.
Yeah.
And they put these stickers on our records. Ugh. And you know what we did? We wore shirts with that shit on it.
Yeah, that's true. And you could still just go to the Sam Goody in the mall and buy the things, even though the sticker was on it. The like pimply kid working the register wouldn't be like, oh, you're not allowed to buy this. There's a sticker on it.
He gave no fucks.
You went to the movies, you'd just be like a little kid and go to an R-rated movie. The people taking the tickets weren't like, let me see an ID.
No.
I remember when that shit started happening. I was like, what? You're enforcing ages at the movies? That's how I knew the world was getting soft.
You want to know why they do it now? Because you fucking kids can't stay off your phones at the movies. And I got to yell at you.
Hey, listen! Now, my story begins in 1982. We had to say dickety, because the Kaiser had stolen our Weird 20. I chased that rascal to get it back, but gave up after dickety 6 miles.
Dickety? Highly dubious.
What are you cackling at, fatty? Too much pie, that's your problem. Now, I'd like to digress from my prepared remarks to discuss how I invented the turlet.
Turlet?
Stop your stickering! I spent 3 years on that turlet!
I can't stand seeing those lights. I haven't gone to the theater in forever,
Nate. I was going to say, you haven't given up on that. I've just completely given up on that.
Yeah.
It's like going to the movie theaters. Used to be something I did 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
Now, pretty much never.
Right.
Essentially never.
I went at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
The little lady and I would go catch a flim. I can't tell you the last movie I saw in the theaters.
It's just an insufferable experience now.
Unless we're going to like Music Box like we are tomorrow.
Somebody with a little bit of standards. Somebody with some love of cinema.
Yeah.
They're going to show you things on film if they can.
Cinema verite.
They're going to...
Where people respect what they're watching.
They're going to use the little drapes to actually like letterbox out the movie the correct aspect ratio it should be. Fucking the multiplexes don't even do that anymore.
No.
They just project everything in every aspect ratio on the same fucking wall.
Yeah.
So you just got big, like, swaths of blank space.
Yeah.
The projector bulb's probably been too dim to, like, look good for the last 3 years, but they're still squeaking the last little bit of illumination out of it they can.
Yeah.
Crackling speakers.
Ugh.
Everybody on their phones. Everybody talking. They serve, like, full meals everywhere now.
Yep.
You can't go to any theater where they're not, like, serving people full fucking meals.
Yeah. It's weird.
I hate it. It all runs completely opposite to what experience I want to have, which is a dark room where everybody shuts the fuck up.
Right.
Doesn't pull out any flashlights in the middle of the fucking movie. And everybody just watches the goddamn movie.
Also, parents, I understand it's a kid's movie, but I still might want to see it. And if you bring your kids to it, that's fine. Just don't let them wear those light-up shoes and then run up and down the stairs the entire fucking movie.
I've never run across that particular phenomenon.
Oh, I have.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
I have often ran across, if like I'm going to a movie, it's going to be like whatever the latest showing is,
mm-hmm.
which these days doesn't even matter out here in the burbs, because like it used to be the latest showing would be at like 10:30, 10:45.
Yeah.
Now you get times when it's like latest showing, 8 o'clock.
Right.
So it's like there could still be tons of kids in there.
Tons.
And even when it was like 11 o'clock, you'd still have people bringing fucking kids in there.
Yeah.
Just like carting like 6 or 7 babies.
Right.
Passing around the fucking like individual drink cups and then splitting up a large soda and shit like
Hell
that.
Yeah.
Stuff spilling everywhere.
Yeah.
Ugh. People, you've ruined the cinema, which used to be maybe my main hobby in life, and now I'm just out here concentrating on my health and shit, I guess. Maybe this was a good turn.
I don't know. Debatable. WWE signed a deal with Snickers.
That's the modern wrestling news of the week. Thanks, Matt, for the update. That's going to be good for them.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they're bringing back Halloween Havoc.
Ooh.
Snickers and Halloween Ooh. Havoc always went together Ooh. Good. This could be
fingers crossed.
Real good for me.
Oh, your boy JR, he's in the AEW.
Yeah, that's... Writing's been on the wall for that one in a long time.
Well, like it's real now.
Mm-hmm.
Did he sign or he just left the E?
He's left the WWE. Yeah. I don't think he's officially said where he's going, but everybody knows where he's going. He's been hanging out with these football people for months. They're carting him around everywhere.
Is he going to be commentating, you think?
It sounds like he's definitely going to be commentating.
I'm going to watch this product.
Okay. You're probably going to hear a confused old man a lot while you're watching it.
That's fine. I miss JR.
Yeah. JR, well, you can hear him doing New Japan still, can't you? Isn't that a thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he does this. I don't got access to that.
Either way.
I don't got access to that. Isn't that what they're on? Access?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Pun intended.
Waka flocka.
Either way, JR is coming back to commentary.
Yep.
He's going to be announcing a product that does have Chris Jericho on the roster.
Right.
So that means he's going to be accidentally calling him Chris Benoit at least five times an episode.
Chris Benoit. I'm sorry, Chris Jericho.
Jericho. So that should be fun to look out for.
So, you know, things are getting interesting.
Congratulations, JR. I hear you signed a real sweetheart deal.
Did he?
Cash in. You're turning into an old fuck. You need to get that money, son.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a wife anymore, so he can just, like, spend all that money on cool shit now. Wives are always trying to, like, tell you, like, oh, we can't spend all our money on cool shit.
She accidentally fell out that second story window, and then he wrote that song about her.
You're definitely thinking about Slowhand's son. That's a different story entirely. She got ran over by a drunk driver, man.
Oh, that's right. You know why they called
him... It's a much less whimsical story.
You know why they called him Slowhand?
I don't know. I've got no idea.
He wasn't quick enough to catch his kid falling out that window.
I thought he had the nickname before that occurrence happened. Multiple kids? Is there multiple kids he wasn't able to snatch out of the air?
One's got to assume.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Should have got some locks on his windows or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough kids dying that you get a nickname? That's fucked up. Yeah.
Bell Bottom Blues, also about kids falling out of windows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pretty much that whole Layla album. Yeah.
Yeah.
Derek and the Dominoes. Yeah, well.
Let's get into our rundown of the professional wrestling program that we're going to be discussing this week. This is where we run down the latest episode of TV that we watched. I hope you're all watching along with us. I mean, we tell you at the end of every episode what to watch next. If you're not, what are you thinking? Just listening to us ramble on about something you haven't seen? That seems weird.
Right. You're weird.
This week's rundown is brought to us by Bar Tonique, my favorite bar that I found in New Orleans.
Mm.
It's up there on Rampart, the northern edge of the French Quarter. Nice little neighborhood spot. You can bring your dogs in there and get fancy cocktails, and they all know what they're doing. Friendly people. If you're down there in the South, first of all, sorry. Second of all, you know, treat yourself. Go out there, order a Sazerac.
This rundown is also brought to you by the hit for, what day is today? St. Patrick's Day film, Blown Away.
Blown Away, yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Always and forever.
Yeah.
WCW Saturday Night from May 2nd, 1992 is what we're watching. Our first match is the natural Dustin Rhodes in there versus Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. Dustin, young buck, he's in there. He's not going to be doing the job to this gruff old military man. He wins with a big running bulldog.
He wasn't doing much of anything.
No, God, I hate him. He's a real channel changer.
Yeah.
Diamond Dallas Page and Richard Morton are in there in a tag match versus the Junkyard Dog and Ron Simmons, the All-American. This one ends after Simmons gets the pin. You know, he does a big shoulder tackle. Big old shoulder tackle. Johnny B. Badd is in our next match versus Joe Cruz.
Johnny B. Badd wins by punching Joe Cruz in the head.
That left hand, that big left hand. You know he's a Golden Glove boxer, right, Matt?
Just, no, because JBL wasn't doing commentary. If JBL's not doing commentary,
don't worry.
I don't know who's got
JR
amateur
will
background.
Let you know. He'll let you know.
Does he? Okay.
Always. Always and forever.
JBL is the one always telling me who holds what kind of boxing titles.
Big Van Vader. We're joined in progress as next one versus Ronnie Atwood. So we don't get to see his like cool big helmet shoot off steam or anything. But either
Bullshit.
way, Vader wins with a scorpion deathlock. He's doing that to get in Sting's head, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
So then he refuses to break it up. A bunch of jobbers run out, and he kills all the jobbers.
Yeah, it was three moves. Gorilla Press, Goozle, Scorpion Deathlock.
That's all you need when you're as strong as Vader. Two out of three falls main event. Arn Anderson versus Big Josh. First fall ends. Arn gets the pin. Sunset flip. Hands on the ropes. He cheats. Second fall, Big Josh. He gives a roll up. Pulls the tights. He cheats too. Double A wins the third fall with a spine buster.
Yep.
And he's pretty beat up afterwards. It was a pretty grueling match.
It was grueling.
It was a grueling rundown to get through. So let's move on to the
grueling
5 count.
For the audience as well. You challenged me. You said, I was like, hey, we should just review Blown Away.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, can we tie it into wrestling?
We didn't get that together.
All we should have done was just called the show Baby Oil and Blown Away.
That could still be the title.
Yeah.
That'll just be the episode title as a tip of the hat to Jimmy Dove.
Jimmy Dove. My first thing I'd like to talk about is the DDP, Richard Morton, versus JYD and Ronnie Simmons.
That was a dynamite little tag match, and DDP and Ricky Morton, maybe the most authentically hillbilly tag team ever assembled, right there. Those guys are trash.
It was weird, and the weirdest part of it all was, why were those guys selling so much for JYD?
Big star, man. The guy...
Was he?
In the South. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Biggest he was star they had the in Mid-South.
I forgot.
This is the same company that has acquired Mid-South at some point. Sure, he's over the hill and overweight and not really doing much in the ring these days, but, you know, he's got that legacy star power still.
Yeah, I forgot how big he was down there before he went to the E or WWF at the time.
Yeah, he really just, like, Cadillac'd that end of his career in the WWF. God bless him for it. Signed a big deal, just started
a lot
packing
of money.
On the pounds.
Yep, got fat.
Doing a lot of drugs.
Doing drugs. That's why he's dead.
Allegedly.
I'm sure his heart blew up because of all the drugs.
I think the biggest thing that I was taking away from this match was how great Ron Simmons' offense looked. And what a spring he had in his step.
Oh, yeah.
And what an athlete he was.
Yeah.
Unlike his later days in the WWF.
Right.
Where he was kind of just a big, unmovable block and, like, he threw people around.
Clubbing people.
But he himself didn't really move around.
Right.
Like, these young days, you could see why they were... They had big ideas for him. Why they put that strap on him. He looked great.
And in 88, too. I mean, but he was doing too much. This was much more focused.
I agree. I think there's been a big step up in these years. He's figured out how to play to the crowd.
Honing that craft. They were hot for him.
Springing the step and everything he does.
They were hot for him, that's for sure. They liked those guys. DDP was pretty terrible at wrestling.
DDP in this era definitely had pretty much nothing figured out other than how to look like a complete sleazebag, which he was always on point when it comes to that. Yeah. Like, you look at that guy and you're just like, well, that guy needs to take a bath.
Right.
Number one, before we even start thinking about anything else that he brings to the table, right. I just want him to take a bath.
Yeah.
Please.
He always looks like that dirty character he plays in that Rob Zombie House of a Thousand... Devil's Rejects, he's in that one.
I forgot that he had a small role in a Rob Zombie film. That's a pretty big accolade for him.
Yeah, it sure is. I think the thing that weirded me out the most was watching DDP wrestle without taped ribs.
This is before the big injury that he sold for 3 years, so you just chalk that up to him not figuring out quite what to do in the ring yet. He doesn't have his finishing move, which got him over. He doesn't have his taped ribs, which got him over. He doesn't have his close and personal relationship with Eric. Oh, I guess he probably does have his close and personal relationship with Eric Bischoff. But Bischoff isn't the boss yet. So
no.
That's the main thing that got him over.
Yeah. So that's the thing that I wanted to talk about. That.
We wrap that up?
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Oh, my number one was also just talking about, I already went into it, just naturally talking about Ron Simmons and how I thought he looked so much better at this point in his career than he did later on. So move on to my number two, which is going to be really quick.
Okay.
He was just my fan of the night out there during that Johnny B. Badd match.
Yeah.
He's just a kid who had a Sting figure just stuck to his forehead by wrapping a bandana around it. He was just like a headband. He just had a headband, and he's just like pulled the front forward, had a Sting figure in there, and was just screaming into the camera with a Sting figure just stuck to his forehead.
Ooh, I missed that.
And I was like, if I was back in the day at this thing, that's who I'd be hanging out with. This fucking kid. He's got things figured out big time.
That's great. Instead of like smacking the figures against the railing or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they're doing
like,
in WWF. Just shaking them in the camera.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's like, no, it's some sort of like battle horn that I got on my head. I'm a fucking weirdo. Also, my runner-up for fan of the week was just all the old ladies who were putting dollar bills in Johnny B. Badd's knee pads when he came out.
That was weird, which brings me to my number.
Super weird.
Brings me to my number two. What was Johnny B. Badd? A male stripper or a homosexual?
Well, primarily he was a Little Richard ripoff, but then they factored in the fact that he was a real boxer a little bit, so you got to put that in there.
Uh-huh.
And then clearly just an over-the-top homosexual, but also the old women love him. So I think it's that. Yeah, he's half gay, half Little Richard with a dash of Golden Gloves boxer put in. It makes perfect sense to me.
Is Mark Merrill a homosexual man?
No, he was with married Sable. to Sable that whole time. Yeah. Duh. That's what ruined his career in the WWF. He went in with his wife, and then she became more famous than him, and then they were like, you're going to job to her in matches. Yeah. And then he was never seen or heard from again.
Well, he was seen on CNN talking shit.
Well, was he one of the ones that popped up after Benoit killed his whole family? Yeah. Is that what happened? Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
He's one of those.
You fucking turncoat Mark Merrow. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
We have a code of silence backstage in the locker room.
Guy code.
You broke it.
Dickhead. Well, this is cruising right along.
Mm-hmm.
You got a number three?
Yeah,
I got a three.
My three was the interview segment with Paulie Dangerously.
That's my number
and Medusa.
Three.
Where they're threatening Ricky Steamboat of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest pro wrestling just sequences I've ever seen in my life. A, because it's over-the-top heel shit where they're accusing the family man of sexually harassing like a gross stripper. And B, Ricky Steamboat responds to this by having the lights go down and then coming out onto a platform that's got a bunch of big dragon heads on it and then blowing fire into the air while Medusa screams at the top of her lungs, leave me alone, you woman beater!
Yeah.
And,
how about that fucking music, too, that Steamboat
that
had?
Yeah, that Steamboat music's pretty solid.
Badass music.
Pretty dramatic. Medusa's just over-the-top trashy. Heyman's a total sleazeball. I just loved it. Overall, they really accomplished.
Ventura just gives up on everything at the end of the segment.
He's out of there.
He's like, oh, fuck it.
Just accusing a man of hitting a woman, and it's going to clearly like turn out to be false accusations and whatnot. This is not the sort of thing that you can do anymore.
No.
On any sort of media platform. But wrestling should be the exception, because wrestling is all about this stuff. Just wading around down in the muck, and I love that. I love this sort of storyline. I love when the heels are total scumbags. It's fun.
That's what you had here.
And Steamboat's going to be a house of fire when he finally gets these guys in the ring, man.
I like that little follow-up interview afterwards with Rick Rude and Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
Rude calling her Deucey.
He called her Deucey and Deuce. He was going Deuce, back and forth. So either way, her nickname is shit.
All's Rick Rude proved us is that something we already knew, and that's he's pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. He was prime cocky, prime oily, just living it up in this period as the United States champion.
Oh, I don't have that big flowing mullet anymore? Don't worry. I'm still slimy AF.
My power was in my mustache. This isn't like a Samson thing where if I cut my hair, like
hair
my power's
mattered.
Gone.
Hair never mattered.
It's all about the stash, bro.
Yeah, when he got rid of the mustache, just wasn't the same.
That was very brief and just a bad little experiment.
Yeah.
Should have never happened.
Just stupid. I got a four. Vader versus Ronnie Atwood.
Okay.
Atwood. Mm-hmm. Edgewood? Atwood?
I think it was Atwood.
Whichever one. It was cool, but man, they didn't give it enough time.
No. That was, of all the things that you're going to join in progress and just show us a little bit of, why the guy who just injured your world champion, who the world champion's in a big feud with, this guy should have a big chunk of the TV show. I feel like we've watched a few weeks now. We've seen very little Vader.
They don't give you his terrifying entrance.
Uh-huh.
Were they worried that, like, kids would like it? and that it would turn them face?
I don't think that they were deep thinkers enough to worry about anything like that.
Right. And the thing is, the match ends where he's got the dude in the Scorpion Deathlock, and he's holding it in with one hand. And then jobbers are like, hey, get off our buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the free hand, like he chokeslammed a dude while he had the other dude in the Scorpion Deathlock.
A couple of bear paw swipes, swiping people out of the ring.
This keeps happening. And what happens? JR's like, okay, well, back to the studio. No, man.
Yeah, they didn't put any exclamation points on this at all.
You keep letting the camera roll as jobber after jobber gets, you know, beat up with one hand by Vader.
How's Sting going to be able to do anything against this monster, especially with broken ribs?
And you keep
saying
shit like that as he beats up all these grown men.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Opportunity.
If this is your main event feud right now.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they're putting it on the back burner because we got Wrestle War coming up next as the next big show. So we got
which goes back to one of our classic WCW problems. Too much shit going at once.
Too many things going on at once. Yeah, I guess that's true. My number four is the announcement for the tag team tournament that's coming up for the NWA title.
Oh, with Kay Allen Fry?
Which is very confusing.
Right.
Because there's already tag champions.
Correct.
So they got to have these fake journalists at this press conference raise their hand and ask questions.
Yeah,
which is helpful to be like, what is WCW and what is the NBA? Or the NWA?
No, somebody asked NBA.
Why are there different champions? What is this?
Yeah.
And it's very confusing. It's very dumb. There shouldn't be different champions.
No. Are they going to have to defend these belts regularly?
No, not really.
I don't know. I don't know
why they exist.
We didn't really think about it. We just thought it'd be cool to get these belts back.
So this partnership with the NWA, it's a will they, won't they. It's hot and cold. At this point, they need to get rid of it. It just needs to go. They need to be WCW.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do a big tournament for a big new championship that you're establishing, what a cool way than to have a big press conference on a set where the backdrop is the fucking tournament brackets. Real huge.
Yeah.
And you run through all the tournament brackets and let people see what the matches are going to be. WWF, they generally don't even show us tournament brackets.
No, because they change them all the time.
They change them all the time. They don't sell like the first round matches like they're a thing. And then they think like posthumously, like, oh, God, that didn't work. We shouldn't do tournaments. It doesn't work.
Right.
No, this is how you do it and you make it matter. You have the brackets up front. You promote the matches. You make it seem like a big deal. I thought this segment, even though it's a weird, confusing idea, did a good job just making me be like, oh, cool, big tournament.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
It was fun because I looked at all those teams and I was like, oh, I want to see them. Oh, that's cool. They're usually not on. It'll be fun to see them.
We got a little Benoit coming up on Team Canada.
And Beef Wellington.
We got the Malenko brothers showing up. A lot of guys who became big deals later on are going to be showing up in this tournament.
Silver King 1 and 2?
Both of them.
Ah.
Which one better of them, than that. Nothing
which
better.
One of them stayed in WCW?
That's a good question. I got to imagine 2.
Yeah,
maybe like one retired unless something tragically happened to
who
2
knows.
And then 1 just kept going.
Yeah.
That's something to bing.
It was fun though. My number five is the Big Josh Arn Anderson match.
Oh, buddy, our big main event.
Big Josh and Arn Anderson going deep in a 2 out of 3 falls.
I gotta say, these guys weren't shy about just beating the hell out of each other, which
these
I enjoyed.
Two guys just laying it in.
Big Josh, big lumberjack, his chops. Whoo, they sounded rough.
Big Josh.
Double A, the enforcer.
From the northern woods.
He busted him open with some of those shots. He was throwing some stiff punches.
Well, he got busted open when it was the end of the match. And Matt Osborne, Big Josh, Doink the Clown, had no idea what the fuck he was doing in there anymore. And just kept botching everything.
He was loopy.
And
they'd gone for 2 falls already.
He ran when he like shouldn't have, and you know, Arn Anderson accidentally punched him in the head.
I don't know. Accidentally, this is Arn Anderson out here. Yeah. He's throwing punches. This is what he's doing.
If you notice, though, a good like 5 minutes after that, when Big Josh finally realized he was bleeding, he went over to the corner there and gave old Double A a receipt.
Ooh,
right in the kisser.
That's what I'm talking about. These guys, they were going tooth and nail, just tit for tat. They were socking each other. They were chopping each other. They were getting sweaty. They were getting bloody. It was an old school Southern fight. The kind that I love.
This is
what I look for.
I liked parts of it, but there was also a part of me that was like, man, that was like the most Arn they've given us in who knows how long.
And it's just I wish it was like a guy who's not over and doesn't really have a character.
Too bad it wasn't against like somebody cool. Like I got excited just when I was scrolling to get to this episode, like I noticed in a week or two, we get a 2 out of 3 falls with Great Muta. It'll be like, oh, that'll be fun to watch.
Hell yeah.
But it's against Brad fucking Armstrong.
He's a journeyman. He's out there. He's out there building houses. He's a carpenter.
I don't want to see.
It might be better than you imagine. I think this one might surprise us. This is Brad Armstrong and Great Muta match. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Big Josh also, you know, Matt Bourne, a worker I usually enjoy, but not as the fucking Big Josh character here. This is just like, he should not, even Arn should not be like out there working this long, selling this much for him, probably.
Nah.
You need to position Arn as one of those top guys. You can just beat this guy fucking down.
Right.
My number 5.
I'm a lumberjack.
Is also talking about this match, but talking about Big how Josh. Annoying...
Jason Hervey.
Our guest host of the show, Jason Hervey, is on commentary.
That's right, butthead.
And how he took a match that should have been really fun to watch and made it almost insufferable as he just talked over everything and wouldn't shut up.
Right.
And really, mostly, how many times he called Jim Ross Jimbo over and over again.
Right.
And how Ross clearly just, like, hated him, but, like... had to be nice to him because probably he saw like the TBS executives just staring at him as they were doing shit together. Yeah. Man, Jason Hervey, what a little fucking shithead. Just loudmouth dink.
He fucked Bischoff's wife.
I mean, he definitely fucked Bischoff's wife for fucking sure. Like you just wonder, like, why is it everywhere Eric Bischoff goes over the years, fucking Jason Hervey is always next to him and they do all this fucking shit together. You could just tell, like, he came in here as like a fucking little... squeaky voiced fucking cocky ass kid was on a primetime network show and everybody just star fucked him into oblivion. He basically handed him the keys to the kingdom and let him do whatever he goddamn wanted on this show.
Yeah.
He was awful.
Well, he was already at this was at least his second appearance with the company.
Oh man, this era he was all over it. He was just like, you know what? Yeah. I like pro wrestling. I'm vaguely famous. I'm gonna use that to just be on fucking pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Just do like annoying commentary where he's like saying I told you so about everything.
Right.
Just like, look, he's gonna do a submission. He's gonna do a submission. I told you so. I told you so.
Yep.
Saying about you, Jason Hervey. You're a commentator. It's supposed to be about the guys in the ring, motherfucker.
He did hit JR with a knot.
Okay, I was gonna get to this too. Also a classic 1992 knot. But also didn't use it correctly.
Correct.
Like saying something and then
he
like being like, I'm going to negate what I just said by saying not. It was just like, oh, I wish I could remember the exact context, but it was just like, it was not used correctly.
No,
it,
he didn't.
It's a very simple structure, the not joke. You say like something that's obviously untrue and then you negate it by yelling not. This is not what he did.
Or you like. Pay somebody a compliment and then be like, nah.
Yeah,
I'm a jerk. I didn't mean it.
You gotta imagine how much this was happening in 1992. Just people trying to throw not into every conversation and like not really doing it right. And just like everybody's yelling not over and over again.
I forgot.
It's probably great.
It happened though. You'd be at school. People were notting you.
Oh, hey, Matt. I see that you got a flannel shirt on here today. Wore a flannel shirt over here. That's a good fashion choice. Like I think you really look good in it. You pull off really well. It was a good choice.
Yeah.
Not.
Oh.
You're just like,
betrayal.
Oh, didn't see it coming.
Oh.
The buildup was so much. Oh. Like now I look foolish.
But to clarify, I do look good in it. And I do. That's fair.
Yeah, you look pretty good. So Jason Hervey, I really liked this episode of TV mostly. Like I said, that Ricky Steamboat fucking thing, that was some pure fucking pro wrestling. That Barry Windham interview where Paul E. showed up out in the crowd, just like dressed like Waylon Jennings and like spitting chaw and yelling in a fake Southern accent and everything. That was weird and didn't lead to anything, but I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But just, there was just this shadow cast over all of it, because it was all just Jason Harvey allowed to self-promote.
Is it Harvey or Hervey?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it might be Hervey, but who's gonna remember that? That's not a real last name.
You're just thinking about how much you like Steve Harvey.
He's fucking Wayne from the Wonder Years. Butthead. He's not even Kevin Arnold. If he would have got fucking Fred Savage, I could have seen why they would have been bending over backwards. But this bending over backwards for a D-lister like the dick older brother from the show, not the main character.
You're telling me you couldn't even pathetic. You couldn't get Paul?
I mean, Paul, he'd be in one of those AEW like autism fucking chambers they're building, so that like everybody with all their different mental disorders don't get scared by being out in public now. Good on them. People like Paul from the Wonder Years show up to your wrestling shows. They can go chill out in a fucking sensory deprivation chamber with Joe Rogan for a while and just chill out.
That's a thing they're doing.
Oh yeah, they made a big like press thing. Like, we're being friendly to those with developmental disorders by creating like safe rooms at every show if you get overwhelmed by the noise or the people.
Why does Cody Rhodes' dog have autism?
No, I think it's actually a service dog who can like help people out like that. So maybe the dog will be in the little room. You can go hang out with this dog.
Does Cody Rhodes have autism?
Clearly he does. Why would he have a service dog if he didn't have it? It's not Brandy. She's very charming.
I'm telling you, this Cody Rhodes, I'm getting very Dave-O.
You think that lisp of his isn't like a sign of something deeper that's going on
Asperger's?
There? Asperger's? Yeah, for sure. That guy's got social issues.
I'm getting Dave-O. I think I'm done with this guy over Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes, we're throwing you in the trash.
Yeah.
No thank you.
Oof. Not for us. Well,
that wraps that was it up. That wraps it up for this edition of WCW Saturday Night.
WCW.
Take a little break here. We'll refill our whiskey decanters. We'll come back with a three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Look on my ego.
You like on my ego.
Give you my skateboard for breakfast.
Some donuts.
I'll go nuts if you don't like on my ego.
Oh, Dennis, I just love the yummy taste of Eggo waffles, so please let go.
It's green and purple and has a million legs.
I don't know.
Me either, but it's crawling up your arms.
Start your good breakfast with Eggo waffles from Kellogg's.
Little brothers.
Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Real food and fun rolled up in one.
You can rip them, you can stretch them. Fruit Corners! They're so good you'll want to fetch them. Fruit Roll-Ups! You can tear them, you can share them. They taste great anywhere.
Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups are the chewy snacks made with real fruit that you unroll, peel, and chew.
You can drink them, you can treat them. Fruit Corners! You can swap them, you can eat them. Fruit Roll-Ups!
Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Real fruit and fun rolled up in one.
Discotheca, discotheque. I got nowhere to tie that.
No, that's just the perfect fucking tribute to the fact that we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day.
Discotheque.
The best U2 song of all time. You want to, after this is over, like, I know you probably got to go to work tomorrow and whatnot, so like, we can't do it too late, but after this, you want to just go out to the bars where all those post St. Patrick's Day nighttime parade they do here, there's going to be full of people.
Yeah.
Just play a discotheque on the jukebox two or three times and then just get out of there.
Just act like I don't know how it happened.
Somebody played discotheque again, I guess. Yeah. I guess we'll just all sit around and enjoy it because what a great song.
Wow, somebody played U2's Pop in its entirety.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. It stopped playing now. Finally, it's a different song. And it's R.E.M.'s What's the Frequency, Kenneth, a couple times just because. This one probably doesn't even have anything to do with St. Patrick's Day. It's just somebody likes it. Somebody just likes it enough to play it twice in a row.
I don't understand. I like that song.
Who doesn't? I mean,
what's the frequency, Kenneth?
Get on board the train, man. We're all going to the What's the Frequency, Kenneth station.
Yeah, because you're a crush.
Probably the most popular song ever.
R.E.M.'s good, huh?
REM's pretty good, but they're no U2, and this is, you got to start ranking these sort of things like this when you're making considerations for things like fucking Hall of Fames, because we're back into talking about Hall of Fames again.
Oh, snap.
Remember last time we recorded this shit a couple weeks ago, Matt?
Yeah.
Before all that stuff happened. A lot of stuff's happened in between then and then, but
yeah,
we were talking about Hall of Fames.
We were.
We were talking about what a bullshit piece of shit, fucking garbage, trash heap the WWE Hall of Fame is.
Yeah, that WCW Hall of Fame, now that's...
TNA
that's
Hall of Fame? They only put in one person a year. It's fucking a lot more prestigious. This fucking shit, they're just like, oh, we pull out 8 people, 9 people, 12 people a year, no matter what big old losers they are. So we're like, we got to get some people out of here. We got to pull some people out of this Hall of Fame. Fucking, we got to make it more prestigious.
Although...
We did that, and I thought we did a good job. Yeah.
TNA looks like assholes now, because two of the 3 people in their Hall of Fame are in the WWE right now.
That just makes them more prestigious, because it's like, look, we put them in the Hall of Fame, and now what happens? Now they're hot commodities. They're big-ticket items, because they got that TNA Hall of Famer fucking label on them.
We made Kurt Angle and Sting.
So we're like, we're going to do a sequel to this 3 count, because the first one, we did such a great job. We were so insightful. We made so many good points.
Yep.
We're going to keep improving this Hall of Fame, but this time it's not going to be taking people out, even though there's more people that can be taken out. We're going to put some people in, some people who they've just passed over, who just insulted. They've insulted all of us, quite frankly, by leaving these people out of the Hall of Fame for so long, while letting so many people that frankly suck in it.
Correct.
And this is another crisis of faith for me, because much like last time, I'm coming in with a lot of fucking options, and I still don't have my 3 nailed down.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly where I'm going. We're gonna play this by ear. I'm gonna see where the wind blows me. My heart will go on. And I'm gonna see where it goes on to. Okay. Hopefully, I don't end up dying out in frigid waters while my piece of shit girlfriend just watches.
That'll follow.
And it's the Titanic riff I'm going on here.
I've never seen that film.
Oh, I'm not talking about the book. I've never seen the movie either.
Okay. Yeah.
I really like the book.
The Random House.
Penguin Publishing, I think
there
it was,
it is.
Actually.
That's a good one.
So let's start digging into this a little bit. Let's cut to the chase. Let's, you know, these people are waiting at the edge of their seats. Just like, what are their picks going to be? Who do they think should be in this Hall of Fame? I want to hear your number one.
My first one is highly deserved.
I would hope so.
He wrestled everywhere, including the E. And maybe that's not where he was most successful, but it's not to say he wasn't successful there. He did a lot.
Could be a good on him. That might be a thing, a little pat on the back.
He did a lot.
Sounds like a real wrestler's wrestler.
Won a lot of titles here, there, everywhere, overseas, you name it. Hell, we talked about him tonight.
Oh.
I'm going with the Mastodon.
Big Van Vader.
Big Van Vader.
God, I don't even know that I realized he isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Right?
He'd probably be on my list, too. That's an egregious fucking... How could he not be in?
He's just not.
Whose fault is this?
Maybe he fucked Stephanie, too.
Wait, Stephanie too? There's a second Stephanie?
Yeah.
No, Vince, she's probably even younger. If you're fucking her, you're really going to get blackballed out of this business.
Vince had her cloned.
that's something Vince would do. He's not going to clone Shane, that's for damn sure. He can't stick around this original Stephanie. She's been fucking wrestlers for like 20 years now. Big Van Vader, just a gigantic, gigantic star in early 90s, WCW, several different years of Japanese wrestling.
Right.
He's in the top of the card, one of the best big men ever. I think he just was too fat by the time he showed up in the WWF.
Sure.
And just famously, Vince McMahon knows nothing other than what's happened in the WWF,
right.
So he's probably like, that fat guy, that fat smelly guy, why would we put him in? He showed up and he sucked.
Fat.
Luckily, Shawn Michaels was champion. I love Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Shawn got a couple good matches on
him. Yeah.
Shawn's chiseled. Yeah. Shawn put it in. Love Shawn. Love Shawn. I mean, it's all. Whenever you talk about the Hall of Fame, I guess it all goes back down to Vince McMahon's weird predilections, because it's not like there's any voting going on here. There's no process. It's all just who Vince wants to put in. Is Vader dead? He kept threatening that he was going to die. I can't remember if he ever actually died or not.
Maybe.
Oh, they should have got him in, man. Because they don't like putting dead people in because it just shines a spotlight on how all the people that used to work for them die.
Yeah, you know, it happens, though.
I think Vader might have died. And, man, his opportunity was like the year before he died. He should have Ultimate Warrior'd it is what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, he died June last year.
Oh, now I don't even know if Vader's ever going to get in there. He really missed the boat by, I guess probably he was angling for a Hall of Fame thing when he was coming out with all those tweets like, oh, by the way, I'm going to be dying soon
if anybody's
I was a pretty famous wrestler. I don't know if any of you remember or anything. I had a long stretch there where I was pretty successful.
I don't know if anybody's reading this or anything, but, just my...
I also was about to go into our...
Might be
hugely humble Sylvester Stallone bit.
I did a couple of things, wrestling. Might be dead in a month. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay, so if you're going Vader, I'm going to parallel your first pick with my first pick with somebody who had a pretty similar story, although they were completely different performers. Same era, same accolades. Everywhere he went, he was a top guy. WCW and WWF. He's just his look, his strength, his size, his presence made him nothing other than a main eventer. You could never just have him be a mid-carder. I'm talking fucking... So, Sid's up there. Sure, you can like be like, oh, Sid couldn't sell in the ring and it was ridiculous, or Sid didn't know how to throw a punch and it looked ridiculous.
He didn't have to. He was big.
Choke slam, power bomb, spit into the camera, scream a lot. That's all it took. Get the guy a manager. Him and Harvey Whippleman, that was a great 1-2 punch right there. Even if that little run with Whippleman and him, that's Hall of Fame worthy. Where's Sid at? This guy, he's going to die one of these days.
Yeah, probably soon.
And then he's going to be a big Van Vader where it's like he missed his window. We can't get him in. Just don't hold the Hall of Fame during softball season. Sid will show up. He's not a problem. He's looking for paydays, I'm sure.
He's still playing.
Can't be taking it seriously anymore.
Yeah. I got a number two.
And let's get into it.
You stole one of mine, so now I got to rejigger the list.
Okay.
He's going to be my number one entrant.
Oh, wow.
But that's all right. I can change it.
We're changing it up on the fly. There's lots of options out there.
You got DX.
On a gold mine.
You got DX going in this year.
I do indeed.
And we're getting to that point now where, you had Nash, Hall, they're all in there.
Mm-hmm.
You got
Well, Hall's not in there.
I'm sorry.
We talked about that last
week. Razor Ramon is.
Hall's still waiting.
Scott Hall's still waiting to get in.
Into the Hall of Fame.
And maybe the NWO gets in, and then Scotty Flash Norton finally gets in.
Fingers crossed.
They're giving attention to the Attitude Era wrestlers. It's hot right now.
Rightly so. It's the only era left where there's some people still alive.
Yeah, and that people remember with any kind of fondness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're also, hey, look, China made it in. Like, there's women. We're doing this right.
That's the saddest thing, where they try to come up with like a woman to put in every year, and it's just like, we've got decades and decades of history where we did nothing with women.
Right.
This is going to be a stretch.
And the one I'm going to name definitely did nothing in terms of wrestling, but my goodness, she was just as important as Stone Cold was at the time.
Oh, wow. Bold claim.
We also talked about her earlier. I'm talking about Sable.
Oh, I thought we were going Linda McMahon.
No.
Here she comes. The crowd's popping.
I'm wearing a pantsuit.
Oh, Lord, she was.
Yeah. Now, Sable.
Yeah.
Sable was huge, man.
I think, especially with Brock still doing business with them, it's pretty crazy that... Certainly over Tori Wilson. She was much more of a game changer ratings-wise, merch-wise, than a Tori Wilson for that company.
Yeah, I get it. She couldn't really wrestle. She tried.
She couldn't cut a promo either. Let's throw that out there. So, not good as an interview. Couldn't be a manager. Tried to make her be a wrestler. She was terrible at that. But
she had big...
They still play fucking those highlights of her pulling her top off with the handprints painted on them and shit. Like, to hype up what the Attitude Era was.
Right.
Some of the most iconic moments. Remember when she came up with the grind? Where she would just like awkwardly white girl wiggle her hips beforehand. She'd be like, are you ready for the grind?
Yeah, that was a thing.
She was a real channel changer for me. Yeah. I didn't understand why she was so popular. These fucking bleach blonde bimbos with big fake tits. They're a dime a dozen is what I was telling people back when I was 16 years old.
Give me a Kathy Ireland any day.
I love me a Kathy Ireland.
There's always a Kathy Ireland.
We talking 90s babes? Kathy Ireland's in my top five. That's absolutely for damn sure.
She didn't have big old fake-os.
I think she just always had like Texas housewife hair in an era where that wasn't a thing anymore. Yeah. And it made her look like a good 10 years older than she actually was. Like when she came back in like 2002 or whatever, briefly, like 6 or 7 years later, she like looked younger and hotter just because she had like
real hair.
Yeah. She had just like moderned up her look a little bit. Yeah. She wasn't just like a weird early 80s stripper out of time.
It's what Mark Merrill was into.
Well, apparently she wasn't into Mark Merrill because she dumped him real quick once she became famous.
That's a sad
I think
story.
He kind of like burned out his career too, like trying to support her, like my wife, blah blah blah,
my wife.
And then like she's just like, oh, I'm more famous than you now, and I'm definitely not going to bat for you. So you're fucking out of here, buddy.
Yeah, but again, say what you will, didn't really do much for me either, but it did a lot for a lot of people.
I'm pretty sure. She's the inspiration for Jerry Lawler calling boobs puppies.
Yeah.
And maybe that was Deborah, another woman who looked 30 years older than she should have to be on TV as the hot woman. Either way.
Deborah came later.
Screaming puppies is a big part of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
People thought that was real funny for a really long time. They should put the term puppies into the Hall of Fame, Matt.
There you go.
That's my number two. Puppies.
Puppies.
No, I got to come up with a real number two. So I'm looking down my list
Kevin
here.
Kevin Sullivan?
Looking down my list here. I'm going to have to save this one for my number one. So my number two, I'm throwing myself a curveball. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going with a tag team that, much like a Big Van Vader, was successful all over the goddamn world.
Oh, you're going to take another one of mine here.
Are we talking about the Steiner Brothers?
Yeah, you son of a gun here. Go ahead, though.
Steiner Brothers. They were main eventers in WCW, main eventers in WWF. Not main eventers in WWF because tag teams can't main event, but tag team champions there.
They had the titles there.
Big draws in Japan. Before Scott ever started wrestling, Rick was already an upper card guy. After Rick stopped, Scott became a legit main eventer. They'd done it all. They'd been everywhere. They were ahead of their time in their fucking matches. They were just ahead of everyone else in the ring athletically, just stud athletes. Most importantly, though,
it's their theme music.
I'm going to say, most importantly, though, you look back at all these guys who are dead, all these guys who are burnouts, all these people you don't want to put into your Hall of Fame for fucking just image reasons.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner owns a Shoney's, Matt.
Yeah.
Rick Steiner is on the fucking school board.
Right.
These are maybe only the two big fucking names of that era they have that are like real life success stories. They got out of wrestling and they went on to be real human beings and they didn't die.
Right.
Drag them out on the stage and be like, look at this. Pro wrestlers aren't drug addicts who die. They can be real people, real upstanding members of the community. Instead, they got fucking photocopied pictures of Scott Steiner at the Hall of Fame saying, don't let this man in the building just because he threatened to kill Hulk Hogan's wife once or something.
Who hasn't? He's not even with her anymore.
Hulk Hogan has threatened to kill Hulk Hogan's wife. Bitch is a C word. Everyone knows this.
Oh, man.
Why do you think Hogan's so racist?
She's the one that told him he was pushed to the brink. The N-word.
Yeah, he was pushed to the brink. He's not that way normally, I'm sure.
No.
He dealt with that chick for so many years, you know. Ugliness comes out of him. She turned him into the monster.
That's right.
Hogan used to be an upstanding gentleman.
My lead-in was going to be, you see, Nate, if you got 172 people in your Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And 32 of those people are women.
Uh-huh.
And another 72 of those people are tag teams.
Yeah.
That means the 2/8 to 3/3 are tag teams. This one tag team deserves to be in there.
He's fat!
I'm going to go with, since you took two of mine and I had to switch it up.
Let's keep going.
Who should I go with?
So I came with a lot of picks.
I'm going to do a tag team as well. They were champions.
Big time.
Just one time.
Oh.
Well, I mean, just in one company.
Oh.
But they were dominant, and they looked like they were just, you know, knockoffs, fakes, phonies, if you will.
It's not now tit for tat, my friend. You are taking my number one.
But these guys, they proved they were no phonies, Nate.
Over and over and over again.
They were the real deal. We could just make it our joint number one if you want.
No, I got a couple more. Okay. I'd like to change up my number one, just so, you know, we're spreading the love around.
I left these guys off so I could put the Steiner brothers in, but since you took the Steiners, I'm putting
them back
on.
Steiners are already in. We already did the job.
I'm putting Demolition in there, damn it. They worked for WWE.
Not Crush, though. Just strict axe and smash induction. We're not putting Crush in.
Crush is dead.
Maybe if you want to put, like, Kona Crush in a little bit later separately, we'll think about it.
But the Axeman and the Smash Man.
So,
they're a real deal, Nate. Real deal.
First ever 3-time tag champs. Back when having title reigns meant something. Yeah. Like, that was crazy. They won it 3 times. Still have the most days as champion to this day as tag champs. Worked as good guys, worked as bad guys.
Or did New Day beat it?
New Day beat one, like, longest fucking reign, but not all reigns put together.
Oh, okay.
Demolition's 3 reigns, still longer than anyone else. Great in the ring. They had matches with every single big tag team of this era, of just this golden era of tag wrestling, and had great matches with all of them.
Yep.
Unlike the Road Warriors, who people say they're a ripoff of, or they're so much better, those guys are just big fucking power guys that were out there fucking plowing through people and no-selling shit and not having interesting matches. These guys could go out there, they could work any sort of style and have great matches with anybody.
Yeah, any team, any style.
Coolest fucking theme music ever. Great fucking outfits. They're weird S&M leather fucking studded shit. They'd pull off those masks. They'd have wicked face paint.
Yep.
Then they'd have fucking red tongues. Like, how many layers of cool going on here was there for a little kid to appreciate?
They were maybe my favorite
tag team of all time. They're at least top 5. Yeah. Could be number 1. They're probably the most dominant WWF tag team of all time. It's disgusting.
They're legit.
And they were just WWF creation.
Right.
Existed only in the WWF. How are they not in the WWF Hall of Fame?
It makes no sense. I mean, I've never heard either one of those guys having any kind of heat.
No, they keep trying to, like, get on fucking lawsuits for all, like, concussion shit and shit.
Oh,
like,
is that what
that's the problem.
Well,
they keep trying to get payoffs in the fucking court. That's the only reason. But it's bullshit. They put in people who fucking shit-talked them and tried to sue them and shit a million times
before. Yeah, like the Warrior.
The Warrior. Bruno Sammartino spent the last, like, 40 years of his life talking shit about what a scumbag company they are.
I don't like the company. I'm a Bruno Sammartino.
My wife.
Yeah.
So my number one, just offshoot here. Gonna have to pick
Kevin Sullivan.
Baby Oil and Blow favorite, just on the basis of the fact that pro wrestling is not real, so a pro wrestling Hall of Fame should not only be the most successful guys in pro wrestling. should be the guys who are the best at the job, so there should be jobbers in there.
Yep.
So let's just throw in the number one jobber of all time, Matt.
Canada's greatest athlete.
Iron Mike Sharp. Let's put him in there.
That's who I was going to use as my number one, and then I
always had one
forgot.
Of the best matches on the card. Always got great fucking heat from any sort of crowd instantly whenever you threw him in front of any crowd.
Instantly.
Any sort of good guy would just get cheered if you put him across the ring from him. You get somebody over instantly. Huge fucking tenure in the company. He was just in there just doing the work forever.
Yep.
Hollers a lot.
Huge.
Begs off a lot.
Huge presence in the showers.
Definitely has a big donger. Is that what we're talking about?
No, Brain and what I was just talking about, how he'd just be like in the arena.
Oh, yeah, he did take long showers. Yeah. So that's the thing. Everybody else would be cleared out and he'd still be in there showering.
Yeah.
Maybe a very small donger. That could be the thing. He waits till everybody else is done. Then he sheepishly goes in there, takes his towel off a little bit.
Or maybe it's huge and he just doesn't like to answer questions about it.
I don't want to make everybody else feel uncomfortable because as soon as this thing enters the room, people can't think about anything
this
else.
This huge Canadian dick.
So our number one joint entry into the WWF Hall of Fame is
absolutely
Iron Mike Sharp's big donger.
Huge
big
Canadian
donger.
God rest his soul.
R.I.P., but not R.I.P. to the podcast, because we're back. We're back in the swing of things.
We're back,
we've got
baby.
Another week next week. We're going to drink some fucking honey lemon hot toddies and soothe our fucking throats here.
Oh, yeah, we should have done that tonight.
Well, it's got a little bit of cold action going on, but we're gonna be healthy. We're gonna be
like
strong. We're gonna be completely back in the swing of things by next week.
Not sounding like Sam Elliott.
We're gonna be watching the Superstars from May 9th, 1992, and then we're gonna be talking about it. So get ready for that. Get hyped for that. Get pumped for that.
Yeah,
it's
get
it's
hyped.
Your way.
Get hyped. I'm hype guy.
It's
What's
like
that
always,
guy's name?
Puff Daddy.
Nah.
I'm pretty sure it was Puff Daddy.
Yeah. Pro wrestler Puff Daddy.
He probably would have made a good pro wrestling manager, quite frankly. If that whole rapping thing didn't hash out for him, and then his secondary career of being the head of Vote or Die didn't work out for him. Third career pro wrestling manager.
Makes me sad that kids don't know what Vote or Die is anymore.
I know. It's everybody died instead of voting. Puffy tried to tell you.
Yeah. Try to warn y'all.
It happened.
That's right. So, Superstars, yeah. I don't even remember what was teased last time we watched it.
Neither do I. It's been so many weeks.
It'll be a real surprise for us.
It's going to be a huge surprise. Bitches popping out of cakes and shit.
Be a surprise for you as well when you tune in here on Baby Oil and Blow.
Stay single.